Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be here once again. I had several remarks. It seems a month of Sundays since we've seen you up here. And it's been a long time. But it's good to be back here once again. My brother reminded you of the beauty of the day that we know and enjoy as we look outside. And I want to bring a dark cloud over that. I want you to think upon the life you live right now. I want you to think about the pressures that are brought to bear upon you. Sister is going to have medical tests run to improve her life. I want you to think about the political spectrum of this nation. I don't care on which side you are. There's no right or wrong anymore. I want you to think about the job that you go to tomorrow morning. What a hassle it is. I want you to think about the nation, the state, the community that we live in. Nothing but bad news. Now, I'm going to give you two choices to describe your life and your walk through that life. Do you feel like you're in the eye of a storm? Or do you feel like you've got a tiger by the tail? One or the other. Now that, from viewed from outer space, that eye of the storm is beautiful. They can be several hundred miles wide. And that eye, that central part of that typhoon or hurricane, can be 20 to 40 miles wide. And then you've got in your mind a picture of a tiger holding it by the tail. Which best describes your life? Now that tiger by the tail normally applies to a dangerous situation, which one has to keep participating in because stopping would be even more dangerous. I want to turn to the scriptures as you answer that question. I want to turn to Acts, the 7th chapter. And I'm going to look at probably verse 59. Now, in that eye of the storm, 20 to 40 miles wide, the most dangerous part of that storm is right at the edge, because you have thunderstorms from the water or the ground all the way, 30, 40,000 feet in the air. Powerful thunderstorms. Verse 59. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And as I thought about that, I thought about chapters 6 and 7, how that Stephen was chosen because he was filled with the Spirit of God. He was a man that was given to making right decisions. And it says that he was full of faith and power. And he did great wonders and miracles in the service of God. Chapter 6, verse 10, it says, those that resisted him could not resist his wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. And they talked other men into saying that they had heard him speak words of blasphemy against Moses and against God. It says in verse 12 that they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him and caught him and took him to trial. And here in that verse 59, he's stoned. To Did Stephen have a tiger by the tail, or was he in the eye of a storm? It says that even as he was put to death, he was able to look up towards the heavens and to see his Savior. He could look all the way into heaven and to see where he journeyed. I think he was in the eye of a storm. All around him was the powerful men of that day that sought to take the people back to what they believed in before. Not this new idea that Christ had established. Not this new church that Christ had built and that Stephen served. Stephen was in the eye of that storm. And as they stoned him and put him to death, they stripped his clothes from him and they laid them at the feet of a man by the name of Saul, who we know to be the Apostle Paul. And as Saul saw those clothes laid at his foot, I think he had a tiger by the tail. He couldn't let go of what he believed, what he had been taught, who he served in the synagogue. He couldn't let go of the persecution of this Christian until God brought him up short. The eye of the storm or a tiger by the tail. I want to turn to, in the Book of Mormon, to Alma, the 14th chapter. Look at verse 70. And now Abinadi was the first that suffered death by fire because of his belief in God. Now this is what he meant, that many should suffer death by fire according as he had suffered. And in this reading, Abinadi is taken captive and he's brought to question. And he begins to unfold the word of God as he taught it, as he prophesied, as he warned the people of things that were happening within their nation, within their people, underneath this wicked king and the wicked priests. And he prophesied, in the manner that you put me to death, you will be put to death also by fire. And there were a great many that believed in his message, one of them by the name of Alma. And after Abinadi was put to death, after he was scourged by the faggots of fire, and as the flames took his final breath from him, Alma fled into the wilderness. And what Abinadi taught, Alma took up the work. I want you to think about the king and the wicked priests. They had a tiger by the tail. But Abinadi, even as he was put to death, continued to serve God and to look to God for his inspiration, to look to God as his goal. Even as Stephen looked all the way into heaven, Abinadi knew where he journeyed and served God till that final breath. Now we know that the king and those priests that practiced priestcraft were put to death in like manner. They were chased. They were hunted down one by one, put to death. But also, those that believed in the words of Abinadi, those that believed as they were taught of Alma, suffered the pains of death. Some of them women and children. I want you to think about what they went through physically, but spiritually, where they drew their strength from. Number 310, Jesus, lover of my soul. Verse 2, other refuge have I none. rest my trusting soul on thee. Leave, oh, leave me not alone. Still support and comfort me. And I believe Abinadi had those words upon his lips. I believe that Stephen had those upon his heart. I believe those that entered into this walk to find out about Christ had the same desire. All my trust on thee is stayed. All my help from thee I take. Now, think about what that is saying. Your trust is stayed not on the strength that you have in your hip pocket, your credit card, your money, your car, your house, your job, this nation. Your trust is stayed on Jesus Christ. I'm getting ready to go back to the Philippines the end of this month, and I check my credit cards. I get money from the bishops to make that trip. I have my tickets. I have every step of my journey laid out on paper, I hope. But that's not where my trust is stayed. My trust must be stayed in the Lord Jesus Christ, or I won't make it, and you will not either. All my help from thee I take. To choose not to attend a service, to choose not to pray to God, to choose not to exercise your faith, to choose to depend upon the strength of men is wrong. Stephen didn't do it. Abinadi did not. Alma did not. All those that followed the message of the Lord Jesus Christ stayed their strength on him, depended upon what was taught and received in the heart, not the law that was written upon their forehead or upon their wrist. There was no life in that, but there is life in what Christ teaches, what his servants teach. Turn to Alma, the 12th chapter. Verse 150. And it came to pass that they did call on the name of the Lord in their might, even till they had all fallen to the earth, save it were one of the Lamanitish women, whose name was Abish. Now this is the king, the queen, the servant of God, as they called upon the name of God in strength and faith. And it says that they were overcome of that spirit, and they fell to the earth as though dead, but yet they lived. The world would say, slain in the spirit. They were overcome of the spirit. Whose name was Abish, she having been converted unto the Lord for many years on account of a remarkable vision of her father. Thus having been converted to the Lord, never had made it known. She had that desire in her heart, what she had received of an earthly father as he taught her of Jesus Christ. And she treasured that in a nation that knew not God. One woman. Her father, I don't know, may have already passed away. She was left by herself. And when she saw this opportunity, and it says that she said it was an opportunity. She knew what had happened to her king, to the queen that she served, to the servant of God, and she caused that the men and women would come and marvel even as she did, stand in awe of the power of God She gathered a storm about her. She was in the center, convicted of what her father had taught her. And as the people assembled, they saw this Nephite that they hated with a blood lust. They saw their king, their queen, laying upon the ground as though slain. And they began to murmur, "What has happened? He's slain them. He's a monster sent to persecute us from a God we don't know." And they began to wonder. They began to murmur. The mob built. And it says later on that Abish began to be sorrowful for having assembled, for having drawn the people to this eye of the storm, but it was still their choice. They had a tiger by the tail. Now, I think it was verse 169. And it came to pass that she went and took the queen by the hand, that perhaps she might raise her from the ground. The queen that she served had power. She sought to raise her, to bring her to. Look what's happening. Help us. Much as I reach for my credit card or my money to take care of a problem. She sought to raise that queen. And as the queen came forth, came back to where she was conscious, what did she do? She began to teach of what had been revealed to her. Overcome of the spirit, but yet taught of God. And she began to share with the people. Sometimes in this life, we're going to find ourselves with a tiger. But we can be in that eye of the storm. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verse 13 says, "These all died in faith." And it lists Abraham and Moses and Sarah. All that died in faith, having been taught of Jesus Christ, having a goal to reach. And they went throughout this life never having achieved their goal. A heavenly city prepared of God. And they may have thought, it's coming in our lifetime. How close are we to that day when Christ comes? But where are we now? What strength do we have to continue our journey? It says that these all died in faith, having seen spiritually the goal. During Sunday school, I caught part of it, and you were talking about your baptism and the covenant that you made with the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you have a glimpse of heaven? Did something marvelous happen to you, either in preparation for that day, in choice for that day, or during that day? Most of us have a testimony that is close to our heart. And as we look back and remember that, when we receive the sacrament, we remember Christ. We remember our covenant. We remember our special testimony. And upon that, we draw strength because our faith became a knowledge that day. And within each of you that have made that covenant resides the Holy Ghost, a promise of Jesus Christ. Can't be taken from you. The world may offer you the tail of the tiger, but that's not ours. Ours is the eye of the storm. Proverbs 4, verse 18, the path of the just, excuse me, is as the shining light that shines more and more unto that perfect day. The day you entered into that path was illumined by Jesus Christ, and you received a portion, but that's not all there is. It is up to you in your faith, your day-to-day walk and talk and breath, to allow the light of Christ to shine within your heart, your mind, upon the path that you walk. And towards the end of that chapter, it says that those that do not have that stumble. And they don't even know what they stumble over. But you and I know what lies to the left and right. And it says we're not to look to the left and right. If we're in that eye of the storm, to the left and right is the most powerful part of that storm. From ground or sea, all the way ascending into heaven. We're not to veil our eyes. We're to keep them upon the mark of Christ to that perfect day until we're sealed. Sealed incorruptible. And before that day, I grab the tail of the tiger from time to time. And you do also. But that is not what Christ wants us to do. One of the songs that we sing, Nearer to the Heart of God, 276. And it talks about a place of quiet rest. And if we're in that eye of the storm, it says that sin cannot molest us. Temptation comes. But in the strength of Christ, we have strength to turn away, to not be a part of it. It says there is a place of comfort sweet where we our Savior meet. That can be in prayer. That can be in an assembly with the saints. That can be on my way to work as I pray while I'm driving. Any place we find ourselves, we can meet the Savior if we determine. It says there is a place of full release, a place of joy and peace. And we felt that from time to time. We know it is available, and it can be all the time. It's up to you and I whether we keep ourselves in the eye of that storm or grab that tiger, afraid to let go. And that's where the world is. That's where every man and woman is in the world, afraid to let go. They have no inner strength to overcome what is in the world, but you and I do. In Christ. Deuteronomy 30, verse 6. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. But yet, those that grasp the tail of the tiger, his ancient covenant people, thought more upon the law than what Christ wrote upon their heart. They wanted something before them. If I keep this to the letter of the law, I have done all. And that's not true. That's not what Christ desires for you and I. He wants us to be the creature that he has in his mind, not who we think we are. He knows who we can become in him. We have no idea. In the eye of the storm is where we meet Christ. Jeremiah chapter 31 and chapter 30. The dealings of God through a prophet with his ancient covenant people. And he laid out what would happen to the northern kingdom and to the southern kingdom. Powerful armies, the Assyrians, the Babylonians. The northern kingdom fell first to the Assyrians, scattered to the wind, slain. And then later on, about 100 and some odd years later, the southern kingdom fell. And yet they knew what would happen if they did not turn back to God and honor him. And they thought more of the strength of Egypt and their allies. They thought more of the strength of their king. And God didn't even want them to have a physical king, but he allowed it. He allowed it. He wanted them. They wanted the strength and security of their world as they knew it. And they fell. They fell. You and I are part of a church of Christ that Christ established when he lived and breathed and taught and walked upon this earth. Restored, never to be taken again from the earth till he comes back. That's our part. Your servants go forth to look for these lost tribes. And I believe we're led by the power of God. It's not always clear, and won't be till we look back, as God looks from, somebody said, God does not measure time. God sees all of time in the blink of an eye. And he knows where they're at. And it's up to us to find them, teach them, draw them back to the eye of the storm. John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. That's your goal. What Christ has prepared for you in heaven awaits. And it's up to us to get there. And in Christ, we will. There is no power on this earth, no temptation that has ever come upon man or woman that Christ has not already triumphed over, even death. And what he promises holds true. And it's available. And it's here. I read a piece entitled The House That Grace Built. And it's by a man by the name of Ronald Dunn. And I don't know who he is, but I like the story. And he compared salvation to being like a house that was built by the side of the road. And he said he found himself upon this side of the road with multitudes of people walking from where they entered the road to the end of the road. And he says that he had a backpack. And the farther he walked, the heavier the backpack became. He doesn't say what the backpack was. I think it's choice. The one thing that man has that is his own. Your choice. It's no one else's. It's your choice to make. And the farther he walked, the heavier that backpack became. And he began to fear coming to the end of the road. You know, that's the way man is. The older we get, that's an unknown, the end of the road. And he said, off to the side of the road, there was a house, beautiful house. And he said he pushed his way through the crowd and he went up to the door and he pounded on the door and nobody answered. He rang the doorbell. Nobody came. He tried picking the lock and it was fast. And he heard a voice behind him. And he knew it was the builder of the house. And he says that he placed in his hand a key that had the word faith. He turned back to the door and it clicked open. And he entered. And he said it was a beautiful foyer. And it was filled with people. It was almost like being back out on the highway. He says it was crowded. And he said, down the hallway was room after room after room, but nobody went there. And he said he went up to the first room. And it was marked answered prayer. It was locked. And he said along the way he had accumulated a lot of keys. And he tried them one by one. Doing your best was one of them. Religious activity was another. Sincerity. He said he even tried the key marked tithing. He was getting desperate. And none of the rooms would open. And he heard that voice. And the voice said, what key did I give you to enter the house? And he said, faith. And the builder of the house said, faith opens all the doors. And he was the only one trying to open all these doors. Answered prayer, every need supplied. The list went on and on, all good things. But he couldn't open them except with the key of faith. He summarized saying, faith is a master key of the Christian life from start to finish. Salvation is by grace through faith. Everything we get in the Christian life, we get by grace through faith. Grace makes it available. Faith accepts it. Grace is God's hand giving. Faith is man's hand receiving. Faith possesses what grace provides. Grace is God's part. Faith is man's part. That sounds like a scripture. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. I don't exercise my faith enough. I don't know your life, but it doesn't differ that much from mine. We don't exercise faith enough. We don't try the door with faith enough. We don't trust God to supply through grace what he offers. All my trust on thee is stayed. all my help from thee I take. We sang that. Do we mean it? Turn to Ether, the 5th chapter, verse 4. By now, looking at your life, it's not a tiger by the tail that you have. You and I are in the eye of a storm. God has placed us here. He's invited us here. And we have entered. We're here to glorify his name. Ether 5, verse 4. Whoso believeth in God might with surety hope for a better world, yea, even a place at the right hand of God. Which hope cometh of faith, maketh an anchor to the souls of men, which would make them sure and steadfast, always abounding in good works, being led to glorify God. That's what he desires of us, to glorify him. Not just in name, but in work, in deed, in choice, to be the light and the salt of this world. Because people watch us and they ask. You and I have the key. Christ has given it to us, not to treasure just for self, but to share and to glorify God. And I thank you.